Ah, you obviously know Kung Fu.
Welcome to the Kung Fu Drive-In Podcast. Adjust your speaker box, sit back, relax, and remember, your Kung Fu may be good, but mine is better.
Joining me today on the Kung Fu Drive-In Podcast, award-winning director, stunt coordinator, performer, whose work you've seen on CBS's Tracker, and most recently, tearing up the charts, the FX epic saga Shogun, Lauro David Chartrand Del Valle. Lauro, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I have so many things to ask you about, but congratulations on the success of Shogun. What an accomplishment. Have you felt the love from the fans on what you put together here?
Oh my God, yes. I've been answering a few questions on YouTube and here and there on Instagram and stuff. And yeah, lots of love for this one. It's quite an amazing project. It was a dream job, I got to tell you.
Oh, speaking of that, when you were first approached for this, given that the cast was going to be, you know, mostly Japanese and the amazing Hiro Sanada was going to be producing and you know, kind of hands-on with the whole thing, did you salivate at the opportunity to work on this, or was it one of those things where you're like, you know, are you guys sure you want me to work on this?
No, most definitely. I jumped at the chance immediately, and it was all because of Hiro Sanada. We had worked together on The Last Samurai 20 years prior, and he remembered me. We stayed in touch, but he told the producers to contact me and that I was the man for the job. So I was super appreciative of that. And yeah, it was just an amazing experience, amazing project, 14 months. And it was just a blast to do, you know, and he was such a big help. He, you know, he brought the authenticity to it along with so many other people, but he was closely involved with everything that we did, and it was a real honor to work with him again.
Yeah. Now, I want to get to that authenticity in a bit, but what is it about your style and your work you think that made you the right guy to take on this epic?
I focus on reality. So I've never been much for the superhero programs and stuff like that. You know, my kids love them. I love them too, but I base a lot of my action, a lot of my stunts and my storytelling based in reality. So that was something that they really needed for this. And Hiro knew that and remembered that with the Last Samurai and how we constructed the fights there and did all the action. So he just knew that it would transition over. I mean, this was even more intensely authentic than The Last Samurai, for sure. And so there was even some things that I constructed where they said, no, even more realistic and quicker, shorter, faster, more brutal. Every blow was a death blow. You know, you were trying to kill somebody and made a move.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's get into that a little bit, because the authenticity of Shogun is really what a lot of people point to as the defining characteristic about this whole epic. People just love that it feels so real, and it doesn't dress anything up with anything that does need to be there, right? The katanas are one cut, one kill, and it's that sharp and that brutal and that direct. How did you approach the whole research and design for all of the fighting that goes on in this whole saga?
Well, I got to say that I took a lot out of my book and my studies from doing The Last Samurai. And then we had so many great technical advisors on the show that helped me out as well. And I also brought two of the main stuntmen that I used on The Last Samurai. I brought them over from Japan, so they were part of my team. Hiro Sanada's double, whose name is Hiro Manami, used to be from Japan. He lives in Los Angeles now. He came up. And those three guys were my main fight choreographers. So I would bring out the lay of the fight and the story and how we were going to connect it and make it, you know, such a through line story with the fight or whatever the action was. And then we would go about constructing it from there, and I would oversee it and tweak it and tighten it up and make things just brutal. One of the biggest things I said to all the guys is there is no bullshit on this show. And by that I meant there's so much filler that goes into fight scenes now to just make them extended and longer and stuff like that. And it's, we didn't want any filler. We didn't want anything like that. So no clacking of the swords above the head. Everything was cut for the neck, you know, go for the target. Nothing just peripheral.
Yeah. Now that kind of thing though, in an era where the Flash is, you know, is some of the stuff that people want to see. What kind of training had to go into everybody that had to, you know, wield a katana or a naginata? What kind of boot camp did you have in place to get everybody up to speed on how to do it correctly to honor the legacy of that weapon and the authenticity of the time period, instead of, you know, wanting to spin it around over their head and do lightsaber moves and things like that?
No, and a lot of the performers that I hired came with that kind of mindset because they've been working on the superhero shows and the CW shows and stuff, which are great and everybody loves them and they're very entertaining. But this was all about story. It was drama, story driven, and so the, like I kept saying, the moves had to be authentic. So we did have a boot camp. We had a 6-week boot camp where I brought all the stunt people that were going to be performing on the show and all the extras and even the actors. They came in and we drilled them for 8 hours a day on katana and kyodo archery, spears, yari, and also movement in military movement and marching. So they weren't, at that time, they weren't strictly step by step in line, but they did have a formation and it was usually very narrow to get through the mountain passes and things like that. So yeah, we went over it and I brought my sensei, Fumio Demura, up from Los Angeles and he oversaw the training and it was great to have him there. And he just made sure everybody was on point and myself and the rest of the trainers went around and corrected everybody and kept them tight and that followed throughout the show. So it was great. It was a perfect thing to do.
Much respect to Fumio Demura, who sadly has passed, but the real Mr. Miyagi there. I'm sure he had some excellent insights for you. But Hiro Manami too, well known in the industry. I think he was a Power Ranger for a while, right?
Yes, he was actually. We wanted to use him on The Last Samurai, but he was doing Power Rangers at the time. We couldn't get him off of it.
That's awesome. With the cast that you had, who among the cast was the most game to try to do as much of their own sword work and stunts as they could, you know, within the safety guidelines that you had to have in place?
Well, you know, they all were, but Cosmo Jarvis was the craziest because he'd be blocking out a scene and he'd say, "I could do this," and he'd throw himself over a railing and onto the floor and cut himself. And I'm like, "Whoa, just let us block it out. We'll figure it out. We'll put a pad here. We'll put some pads on your elbow, whatever we got to do." But he would he was just so gung-ho. He just wanted to do everything and jump into it. And he loved his stunt double, James, but he just he wanted to do it all himself, you know, when it came down to it. And he did so much of it. Now, Anna was well-trained before she came to us, and she was super gung-ho to do everything as well. She had a great stunt double, Darlene, but she most of the time had to sit on the sidelines. So we would, you know, we would work out all the choreography with the doubles and get it all dialed in, show them, and then train them in the choreography of it, and then they just took it from there, you know. And, of course, you know, Sanada-san, what can you say? The guy's, you know, been a pro and just... You know, he did everything and he was amazing. So, and he coached everybody as well. So he was a great mentor for everybody.
Speaking of coaching, you have an extensive background in martial arts yourself. How influential was that background in setting your path into stunts and the film industry and you know, eventually here to Shogun?
Huge. That's everything that got me into the business. You know, Sensei Demura was a stuntman as well. And he led me, you know, once he knew that that's what I wanted and that was my goal, he pointed me in the right direction. And then, you know, everything that we trained in martial arts, we also related to film and TV because he loved that so much as well. So it was a double connection that we had in that way. And all my training, weapons training, Okinawan weapons, katana, you know, and then I branched off into other martial arts because that was strictly Japanese, Shitaru and Shotokan. But I branched out into Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu. And he also taught Judo in the dojo and also Aikido. So I got a very, very well-rounded education as far as martial arts go. And it's been nothing but a blessing for me in this business.
Are you still training?
Not so much in the dojo, but I mean, I do so much every day and every week, you know, on the set of every show that I work on. So it's just constant, always choreographing fights, always, you know, I'm always demonstrating, always showing it and doing it. So yeah, I still bust a move every now and then.
One of the things that we appreciate on the show is, you know, the faithful depiction of martial arts in entertainment. And we appreciate it when the actors and the stunt people look like they know what they're doing and they're not relying on heavy editing to kind of keep the action moving, because you know, we can tell when it looks like garbage. So what was important to you about making sure that all of the movement in Shogun was authentic to the story that you wanted to tell?
It was rehearsal and just fine tuning and cleaning up any sloppiness, anything. We just kept it tight. And that was the main key. And yeah, and that's the whole thing that I was super proud of, you know, going back and mentioning The Last Samurai again. That was the first thing that I was ever proud of, that I went to Sensei Demura and all my other students and went, look, you know, this is something to be proud of. And then Shogun was even more so for me. You know, we just took it to another level with Shogun. So it was great. And, you know, you work in so many projects and you love what you do. My life has been just a joy doing stunts and movies for 35 years now. And I'm just living the dream. And to have a project like that is just crazy. It's just beyond a dream, you know.
How different is the mindset for creating the action for something like Shogun, as opposed to the stuff that you do for Tracker? You know, different worlds, different scenarios, different situations. But your approach has to have some kind of structure, because that's who you are and that's how you do it. So how different, though, is it to shift that mindset?
Well, of course, in Shogun, we're in 1600 and we're using traditional weaponry and things like that. Tracker is now, and they didn't want him to be overly trained. You know, he's a survivalist and he has learned some things along the way, but he doesn't have a style. He's not super trained, but they wanted to base it in reality and brutality. So we keep all the fights short, usually three to four moves, and he's in and out. You know what I mean? He either knocks the guy down and gets away, or he subdues them and chokes them out or ties them up, whatever he ends up doing. But again, very reality-based. They don't want a lot of extra movement, a lot of fancy stuff. It's just to the point, which is what I love to do. So this has been a great series for me as well.
Yeah, it's definitely only in the over-exaggerated movies where fights are like 10 minutes long, right?
that's very entertaining for a lot of people, and that's great. You know, it just depends on the story you're trying to tell, right? And, you know, these stories are based in reality, or, you know, the production wants them to be, and that's where the directors are going and the producers. And so I do my best to keep it that way with them and collaborate.
Speaking of that collaboration, Shogun, had so much emotion, so much, invested in the characters to tell that story. How closely were you working with the directors and the storytellers to make sure that all of that action complemented, what they were trying to portray with, you know, their faces and their movement? Because action for action's sake just takes people out of, you know, the situation. So how do you get it right?
We started very early on in the process from conceptualizing the scripts and the action that was driving the drama at the time. You know, you want action, like you said, just for the sake of action gets boring really quick. So it has to have a through line with the story. And a lot of times that becomes very intense for the viewer, and they feel the nervousness of that character. So that's what we're always trying to portray, the danger, you know, and the drama that was going on through the action. And so it started, you know, early on in the script stage. And, you know, I would actually have meetings with the producers and the showrunner before the director was even on board, and sometimes even start storyboarding things. And then the director would come in and tweak things, and we would collaborate that way and fine tune it. Then I would go to town with my rehearsals and my previs, and I would film it all as the storyboards depicted that we worked out together. And, you know, and then we would bring our cast in, and then I would previs again with the cast as well and put all those moments in so that the director would just be able to know on the day that it was just going to go. Because, you know, we had a 15-day schedule, so we had to move along really quickly, you know, and yeah. It's a lot of work to make it that show was so epic, you know, with the costumes and the amount of people that we had and the filming techniques that we used, you know. So it was, it had to be a major collaboration of all the departments and on point, you know. So yeah. that was that was what I was proud of. Just the, you know, the camaraderie that we had and the teamwork that we had, and everybody was on the same page, and which was tough because we were, you know, dealing with two different languages. And
oh, yeah.
so many of the people that came over from Japan, you know, we had to really find a groove to work together and get it right, you know?
Now, the stunt coordinators, the action directors that I've talked to on the show, a lot of them sometimes lament having to turn their stuff over to an editor that maybe doesn't get the vision. How closely did you work with your editors to make sure that from storyboard to screen, you guys got everything that you needed to get there?
In this particular project, I didn't get to work with the editors at all. So that's always a point that I try to talk to with the producers and the directors, and I love to get my hands in there and just make sure that they know the through line of the fight and the order of everything and stuff like that. But they're so good now, and they actually passed on my previses. We kept them on the fix,
yeah.
And they were able to view the previses and know, you know, from A to Z how, you know, it was meant to be. So they nailed it. They nailed it. And that was great. You know, I don't have time because we're always jumping ahead to another episode and working on this previous one. And so there's no time for me to get into the editing room with the editors. I don't have that luxury. Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know what previs are, a previs is visualization where they block out the entire scene and try to get, the action and the camera work all in sync so that when it comes to filming, it's all there and it's, they can hopefully get it all correct. Right.
It's interesting because every director is different and everyone has their own style and how they work. And sometimes when I'm doing a previs, they want me to edit everything, you know, myself and, you know, put the fight together or the action together from A to Z, and they closely emulate that or may change up a few shots, you know, and some don't want you to do that at all because yeah. They don't want to get in their mind some direction that you're going with it. They just want to see big masters of it, and then they can edit it and cut it up and get in for tight shots where they feel it's best for the story and stuff like that. So I'm very, you know, adapt at going either way, and I don't mind. It's you know, whatever way they want to work, I'm happy to make it happen for them.
Well, I think you have an advantage because you are a filmmaker yourself, right? The current state of Hollywood today, a lot of the biggest blockbusters are done by guys who were just stunt guys before, right? And now they're making some of the big summer blockbusters that resonate with the audience now. What is your state on what is your take on the state of stunt professionals and what they're doing in Hollywood now?
Well, every stunt person is different, you know, and everybody has different goals in their life. And, you know, when I first started, when I was 8 years old, I decided I wanted to be a stuntman. And that's all I focused on. I never ever thought about becoming a director or anything like that. But I just fell in love with the whole process so much. I became a sponge and I just wanted to learn everything I could on set. And that included writing scripts and directing and producing and everything. It's just such a fascinating world that, you know, you can create from just an idea in your head. So that's my path, but I know a lot of stunt guys just want to be stunt guys and they just go until they can't go anymore. And some don't even want to become stunt coordinators, you know, but that's what hooked me first was going from being a stunt person to a stunt coordinator, because I always like, yeah, but what if we did it this way? We could do it this way. Or can I try this? You know, when I was a performer, and I would always be respectful and just take the coordinator off to the side and, you know, I wouldn't try to make it my idea, but, you know, I can do it in one take. I don't need to do it this way. You know, I had the confidence to do things like that. So that ramped me into stunt coordinating. And then from stunt coordinating, when you're working closer with the directors and the producers, then you go, what if we shot it like this and the action's coming right at camera here and we can do it safely and just miss the camera and do things like that. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you set up the shot then? You know, I'm going to send you out and you can do some second unit. And then it starts nice. To feel like,
yeah.
No, if good work begets more work, and you know, if you do a decent job, then they ask you back, or somebody else likes your work and wants you to come help them. So, like I said, it's teamwork. Nobody does it on their own. So, if we work together, we make a good product.
So, what about you and your personal evolution as a creator? I know you have something in the works, Protectors of the Land.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it was something I wrote about 3 years ago. And then I, you know, I was able to secure the money for it. So we went out and shot I asked for a leave of absence from Tracker because it was the only time that my lead actor, Tim Mazzone, was available. And they were very supportive. And they said, go do it, man. Go make your movie. And so I had, you know, 3 weeks of prep and then 3 weeks of shoot. And 14 days was a tough one to cram a feature film into, but but he was on board. And yeah, it was great. It's, you know, the cartel are moving drugs into Alaska and they start crossing indigenous land, decimating some of the communities. And they, and in the storyline, they kill a woman kind of by accident, but the community takes revenge on them and summons the spirits of their elders and become shapeshifters and take out the cartel. So we had a lot of fun with that. And I had an amazing costume designer who made some really beautiful costumes. Took about a year actually. And then I got some great actors. I got Graham Greene on there. He just gave me a performance of a lifetime. He just blew me away. So I was really, really fortunate and super excited. So we're just in post on that now, starting to edit and get the music and the color timing and the visual effects and all that good stuff.
And you had 14 days, you said, to shoot this?
14 days. It was pedal to the metal every day, just going 100. You know, my camera guys never took their camera off their shoulder. They were running and gunning. Yeah, it was great.
14 days and you wanted to throw shapeshifters in there. You're ambitious.
Yes, I heard that many times every day.
That's awesome. So what else do you have in the works? Is there anything that you can talk about that you're working on? Anything that you don't want to talk about, but maybe hint at?
I can't really talk about, I'm just in negotiations right now on about three different shows and trying to decide what direction I want to go, you know, because I'm so spoiled. I've never had to, since I started directing, I've never really chased directing. It's very, I love doing coordination, stunts, everything. So, you know, I've got a great career in that. So if I don't find something that I really want to direct, then I can coordinate second unit direct. And I love it all. So it's a hard choice. Sometimes it's because I want to travel. Sometimes it's because I want to work with a certain person. And right now I just read three scripts, three different projects, and they all blew me away. Like, they're just phenomenal. And I can't say anything about them, but you know, I got to the end of the script and I was just like, wow, I want to do this, but I can't do it all, you know, sort of thing. Cool. So you gotta make your choices and it's not always easy. So,
well, you've made some good choices to date. So kudos to you on that.
I'm blessed. They come to me and I, you know, I'm lucky. I really am.
That's all. Well, you know, the skill that you have brings you the luck. So, you know, you've earned it, I'm sure. But tell the audience where they can find you online, Detectives of the Land, and anything else that you have in the works so that we can continue to follow you.
Well, I'm really an Instagram guy. That's about the only thing I do. I've got a Facebook thing and I just kind of funnel stuff onto there. But Protectors of the Land _movie is my Instagram handle for that. And then Bullseye Stunts, Inc., Bullseye _Inc. You can find me on Instagram there. And I've also got Dubai Films, Inc., which is my directing page. So those are kind of my three main pages. And they all overlap and spill onto each other. And, you know, certain things I direct, I put over on this one. And Stunts is this one. And then Protectors, the movie, is over on that one. So they're all interconnected.
Awesome. If you had an unlimited budget and you could do any project that you wanted to, is there a dream project that you think that you'd want to bring to the screen?
I have one that I'm working on. I have been for probably 7 years now that I'm trying to get together. It's a really funny action comedy and it's a lot of fun. And it's kind of a road trip from Vegas to Mexico. And this hitman who, he's part of the Italian mob, but he's not Italian. So the Italians want to kill him too. And then the Yakuza are after him. And then the Mexican mob is after him. And it all culminates in a big showdown in Mexico, somewhat like Desperado. And it's just a lot of fun and really, really funny. And so I'm just trying to finalize the financing for that and then get some great comedic actors on board. And you know, I've got some actors that I've worked with that we've spoken about earlier. I'm not going to say too much about it, but I'm trying to on board as well. So, yeah.
And that's going to be a 14-day shoot too, right?
No, that's called Mexican Radio, and it will probably be closer to a 50 to 60 day shoot. It's a bigger budget thing, and but just a ton of fun and a ton of laughs.
Excellent.
And big, crazy action. So, yeah, fingers crossed on that one.
Very cool. Best of luck then on Mexican Radio. best of luck with Protectors of the Land. Looking forward to seeing that. Congratulations again on the success of Tracker and of Shogun, which again is all over social media. People love what you guys have put together. So congratulations on that. And best of luck. We'll keep track on what you're doing and hope to see much more of your work sooner rather than later. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Poison Clan rocks the world.
Some action, drink a little wine, we're getting drunk and then we're fighting. Ha! This time it's war. We smash the place up with a dragon claws. We're walking to the tea house, ready for some action. Drink a little wine, we're getting drunk and then we're fighting. Ha! This time it's war. We smash the place up with a dragon claws. I see the iron fisted bunk before the daily prayers. Shaolin monks on the hands, running down the thousand stairs. The fate of Lee Khan, now's in King Yu's hands. With the fearless Aida roaming over the land. Yeah, the little bit soldier is old, otherwise. So he wants a world of peace because he doesn't want to fight. Yo, got the venom mob laying down the law. Bruce Lee delivered kicks, guaranteed to break jaws. Fight for the cause, then pause, hear applause. Not the end, back kicks will defeat the outlaws. Very good, but balls don't hit back. Yeah, the death jewels here, Derek D's coming back. The Tai Chi master, Jet Li's even faster. Could chant a little drink because he is the drunken master. Once upon a time in China, Rosamund Kwan is real fine, but see Maggie Chung is finer. Golden Swallow has arrived. Shang-Chi movies will the hero will survive. We've got the brave archer, make his way to the top of the mountain, gonna fight, may as well pick a spot. Yeah, the sky goes black, cause the vampire's back. We got Lam Ching Ying to kill them all, so stand back. He plays the black magic on the soul of the sword, and our sword will travel until his body's on floors. Yeah, Wing Chun Shaolin, the man is style. Yeah, defeat the enemy and watch him run for miles. Blood will spill now on the mountain tops when we bring back the soul of the legendary pops. Walking to the tea house, ready for some action. Drinking a little wine, we're getting drunk and then we're fighting. Ha! This time it's war. We smash the place up with a dragon claws. We walk into the tea house, ready for some action. Drink a little wine, we're getting drunk and then we're fighting. Ha! This time it's war. We smash the place up with a dragon claws.
See, it's a game of death, yo. You're facing the big boss. It's once upon a time in China counting the TikTok. The Shogun assassin slashing blood of just drip drop. The head kick, neck drop, balance the bone stop. Wanna kill Bill, better get the assassin. She's got Irma just in yellow, but she is in the dragon. But in the tea rooms, that's where it'll happen. She got the bodies on the floor. When the blood, it'll splatter against the wall. No fear at all, to kill them all. There's always blood spilled when you head into a war. Fearless, unleashed. The fist of legend that they call Jet Li. I'm Bolo Young, yo, will always be a beast. You rumble in the Bronx, yo, I'm rumbling the streets. And it's simple, see the facts are these. There's only ever gonna be one Bruce Lee.
Walking to the tea house, ready for some action. Drink a little wine, we're getting drunk and then we're fighting. Ha! This time it's war. We smash the place up with a dragon claws. We're walking to the tea house, ready for some action. Drink a little.